This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Thanks to Julie Baxter-Payer, who did a fine job hosting yesterday. Matt Doyle is producing today, and signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. 877-217-5757 is your number. Our email is talk@talklouisiana.org, and we begin with one of our favorite guests, Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief, and good morning to you, Lamar.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, we are now inside 4 months before a governor's election, and since we last visited, Governor John Bel Edwards signed one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country, and, of course, it didn't endear him with some of his base. But on the other hand, right now, there's no one in the race with a different point of view. How do you see this evolving as an issue, if at all?
I just think it's always been an issue for the courts to decide, and I think that ultimately it will be struck down. A federal judge from Mississippi has already said that pretty much an identical law there is unconstitutional.
So, you're a lawyer, and of course you follow these things, but the governor also is a lawyer, and I'm sure he, in his wisdom, has some political calculation when it comes to signing or vetoing bills. He says he wasn't going to wimp out and not sign the bill at all and let it become law without his signature, but he is a Democrat, and the Democratic Party has become nationally known as the pro-choice party, and he is not in that camp. It certainly affects him nationally. I don't think anybody would deny that if he stays a Democrat, but in this election, the one on October 12th, does it really matter?
I mean, I'm not sure that it really does, except it may suppress some votes, to be honest. I think that, you know, there's been polling that suggests that the governor still wins in a three-way race in the primary. I expect that will hold up. I don't know the polling on abortion specifically in Louisiana right now, but the last poll I saw suggested that the majority of voters here, Democrat and Republican, support restrictions on abortion, so... I suspect that it won't be as much of an issue.
All right. 877-217-5757 for Lamar White. Always topical and always insightful. And occasionally he gets on a few people's last nerves. And if you're in that camp, we'd like to hear from you even more. And you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Lamar, listener, this is Hal in Monroe asking if you attended the True Blue dinner the Democrats held. Were you in that number?
I sure did. I was there.
What did you think?
I thought it was way better than last year, to be honest with you. Probably about 450, 500 people. I know that the place, that they sold out the tickets, so that's a good sign. Would have liked to see, in my opinion, I would like to, I've seen a presidential candidate as a keynote speaker. That would have been really cool. But it was an all in all a really well done event.
Well, Tyler Bridges a few days ago, as in yesterday, in the Advocate, noted that since January of 2016, and this would be right around the time that Donald Trump became a national political figure, Democrats have lost 6% of the registered voters in Louisiana, and over that time, Republicans have gained 10% more registered voters. Democrats still outnumber Republicans in our state, 1,261,000 to 822,000, but nonetheless, 914,000 now. Republicans control statewide offices. That's no great secret. John Bel Edwards is the only Democrat standing. And some would think that he might have been better suited just to switch parties. After all, he is conservative on many social issues. Why do you think he stayed a Democrat?
I mean, I think he is a Democrat. I know that he's stayed a Democrat because he always has been a Democrat. And you have to remember that when he ran for governor 4 years ago, he ran an ad openly expressing himself as a pro-life candidate. It's not as if voters for John Bel Edwards should be surprised or should have been surprised that he took the stance that he did. He's been pretty transparent about his position on the issue the entire time.
Most Democrats have been rather cautious in criticizing him, too. I think they know the stakes. If you hurt him politically, you're going to end up with somebody far more conservative than he, and a Republican as governor, so at least they figured that out. But Privately, a lot of them were disappointed. I guess they thought that he might have an epiphany. He might be looking at the national calculus and decide that it was time for a change of heart. And we've seen this happen on both sides, by the way. George Bush, the first George Bush who was president, he had an overnight conversion on abortion when Ronald Reagan made him his running mate. And I remember years ago, John Breaux said that he no longer believed that abortion with no exceptions was palatable or acceptable. And he gave many indications that if he were to become a national figure, he might go all the way and become pro-choice. That never happened. But John Bel Edwards, as you say, he did exactly what he said he was going to do, Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, he did. And look, I mean, if it were me, I would have done things differently. I think if you ask most Democrats in the state, they'd say the same thing. But you're right.
Now, Donald J. Trump is a person who is called John Bel Edwards, his favorite Democrat. He's the only Democrat who's been invited to a state dinner, to my knowledge, in the Trump, only prominent Democrat in the last few years. And the governor has done a very deft job managing the president. Now, is it because he likes the president, or is it because he realizes the implications of picking a fight with the president, something that Bobby Jindal never understood when he was feverishly attacking Barack Hussein Obama?
Right. I mean, I think it's been a benefit to the state to have a good relationship with the White House, even though I still give Donald Trump an F minus. we need the money, frankly. You know, we need to have a relationship with the White House, because Louisiana is a poor state.
877-217-5757. This is an interesting question from Tom on Blue Bonnet about Trump's statement, and I'm looking for it, about Mars and the moon. The Trumpster, our president, is obviously not. He's not an astronomer. He claims the moon is part of Mars. He actually tweeted that NASA should focus on Mars, of which the moon is a part, he wrote, over going to the moon, a reversal of previous remarks. The man obviously believes that the moon is part of Mars, Lamar White.
I'm not even sure what to make of that. Someone needs to take the phone away. They've been needing to take the phone away from him for years. It doesn't surprise me. He's not known to be a pro-science guy.
No, he is not known to be a pro-science guy. And, of course, he's the same man who said climate change was a hoax started by the Chinese, too.
Right, a hoax.
And I'm not sure he's going to get – he does have a few people who agree with him on that, but I don't see a lot of people – I don't see Congressman Graves springing to his defense on this moon and Mars statement.
I doubt Congressman Graves would, but there probably are some people in our delegation who would.
Another listener notes that on a vote regarding vaccines last week, every member of the Louisiana delegation voted for an additional $5 million in spending, with the one exception, and his name is Clay Higgins. No money for for vaccines for Clay Higgins, who sleeps in his office and is an iconoclast. He certainly is kind of like the governor. You get what you got when he was on the campaign trail. He hasn't defied logic by virtue of the way he campaigned. He's exactly the same guy.
Yeah, it's not kind of a more exaggerated version of who he sold himself to be on the campaign trail. In other words, it's actually even worse than we thought. I had not known that about his anti-vaxxer position. But you know what? It doesn't surprise me.
877-217-5757 for Lamar White. We start with Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Good morning, Henry. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Lamar. You know, I was wondering, we all try and be polite and keep above the fray and everything and, you know, not get into all this name-calling and everything. But for God's sake, that's all Trump seems to do is call people high school names. Do you think it would, and this is just a matter of opinion with both you gentlemen, would it be impolite for us to just say that Trump is a fat slob? Because that's all he is.
Well, he is fat. A slob might be a bit unfair and unjust, but he is the fattest president since William Howard Taft. And if you asked him, he probably would say, as he has in the past, that he's the healthiest president in the history of our country, Lamar White.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know if it really benefits Democrats to get into that sort of name-calling, though. I really don't. At the same time, I kind of, yeah.
Well, Lamar White says sometimes you got to be above the fray. And we'll hear,
that's right,
hear from the president calling Joe Biden some names when we return. And we'll talk more with Lamar about what's happening near and far. And again, your number is 877-217-5757. Back with more Talk Louisiana after this 90-second pause on WRKF. Jim Inkster, thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and Lamar White is with us for a little while longer. We're slated to hear later in just a bit from Michael Wolff. That's not our lawyer who's with us every now and then, the libertarian. This is Michael Wolff with two Fs, who wrote the book Fire and Fury and is back with another one, Siege, Trump Under Fire. 877-217-5757. Another listener notes about some Supreme Court decisions. We started talking with Lamar at the open of the show about court examinations and voting 229 to 191. The U.S. House last week authorized its committees to ask federal courts to enforce subpoenas for documents and testimony from the Trump administration and its current and former officials. And in Louisiana, despite the fact that this passed 229 to 191, only one member of our delegation voted for it, Cedric Richmond, voting against Steve Scalise, Clay Higgins, Mike Johnson, Ralph Abraham, Garrett Graves. No surprise here, but these Republican lawmakers on almost every vote in the U.S. House, all five of them, they're lockstep with the president. What the president wants, the president gets, and there's rarely an exception, Lamar.
You know, it's just funny. I'm old enough to remember when Bobby Jindal campaigned on the gold standard of ethics and government transparency, and it really riled up a bunch of conservatives here in Louisiana. So it's kind of ironic that that these guys are taking the position that they are about the same issue.
Mm-hmm. President Trump, who later today will announce his reelection bid, and he's doing this in Orlando, Florida. Suddenly he's become a Floridian. I wonder why. Mm-hmm. That state, of course, is probably the bellwether for the rest of the country when it comes to the election. He won by 1 point there in 2016. He says the U.S. will face an epic stock market crash if he's not reelected. Lamar, are you wary and worried about this?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I mean, with the stock market has been, first of all, the stock market is not the economy. And, you know, secondly, I mean, it's been volatile the whole time he's been president. So I'm not concerned about that. I think it's, what I'm concerned about is if he loses, he may just decide to stay in office.
Well, at that point, I think he would be removed, and we might even see some members of our delegation saying he should be removed. The stock market, by the way, today is having a good morning. It's up 295 points. It's 26,407. It was at about 25,000 when the president took office 2.5 years ago. So you can see it's moved by over 30% in the right direction. But under Barack Hussein Obama, it rose almost 300% in his 8 years. And so the president's way behind Obama when it comes to the stock market, Lamar.
Yeah, and a bunch of other economic numbers, too. No question about it.
Jim on Starring Lane. Hi, Jim. You're on the air with the publisher of the Bayou Brief, Lamar White.
Good afternoon or good morning, gentlemen. I am really confused about the supposed support of the rule of law by Republicans when it's only when it suits them. And the rule of law appears to completely fall by the wayside when it's just maintaining power. And it's I don't think it gives them much of a leg to stand on anymore, does it?
Lamar, your response about
no
rule of law?
I, Well, I mean, the caller is right. There's just the hypocrisy seems to be pretty rampant. And I think that, you know, at the center of all this is Mitch McConnell, which I guess is kind of a different subject, but really that's kind of been the power broker the whole time.
Well, it was all about the rule of law when Bill Clinton allegedly perjured himself in being asked about a private matter, but it was the rule of law. I guess Bill Clinton didn't adhere to the rule of law as well as Donald Trump in the eyes of these people who were of the mind that Bill Clinton had to go because he lied about an affair, and that Donald Trump can stay for any number of lies that have been documented from him.
Including lies about multiple affairs, by the way.
Yeah, now some of this was not under oath, but
right.
Another listener, and I'm looking it up, I think he's right, notes that Donald Trump took the Fifth several times when he was in his divorce action in a deposition with involving Ivana Trump. And remember, in that divorce action, she accused him of raping her. Now, Bill Clinton also was accused of rape as well. But these two men born in the summer of 46 have had active lives. And let's see, how many times did he take the Fifth? 97 times in his divorce deposition in 1990. He took the Fifth.
And of course, you know, he's been sued multiple times, and he says, "I don't remember," quite often. And this is a man who also proclaims himself to have the world's greatest memory.
And is a stable genius.
You're right.
Despite believing that the moon and the Mars are one and the same. Now, the Supreme Court yesterday, Lamar, lawyer that you are, dismissed the challenge to the voting map for Virginia's House of Delegates, saying that state lawmakers were not entitled to appeal a ruling striking down parts of the map on race discrimination grounds. And the Supreme Court's action is believed likely to help Democrats in the election this fall. But this is fascinating. The vote was 5-4. And you would think that it would have been four Democrats appointed by Democratic presidents and four Republicans, and then somebody on the Republican side would have to swing to the left. Well, in this case, two of the Republicans did so, and Clarence Thomas, of all people, and Neil Gorsuch. They voted with the Democrats, and Stephen Breyer went to the other side. This is fascinating.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I mean, I understand. It's an issue of standing. Does the House of Delegates have standing? And they said, no, only the state has standing, right? So I guess I get it, and I understand, you know, Clarence Thomas is an originalist. So that I sort of understand the logic of this.
What got into Breyer, though?
Well, I can't explain
that. Yeah, that is something. Ralph Abraham won a Republican Party straw poll in Iowa, Louisiana, and he beat Eddie Rasponi, who's been kind of a stealth candidate. He hasn't really gotten going yet, but Ralph Abraham has made a number of gaffes on the campaign trail, but he is a doctor, a veterinarian, a pilot, a man of substance, and he would seem on paper to be a great candidate. But has that translated thus far, Lamar, to actual candidate on the trail? Has he been a good candidate to this point?
Not as far. I mean, first of all, we haven't really entered the campaign season full throttled, so it kind of remains to be seen. I think perhaps after Labor Day is really when voters will start to hear from, I think, both candidates. And I would imagine that Rasponi's sitting on a lot of money. I would not be surprised if he starts using it. And I would also imagine that it probably would be used against Abraham first. So there could be a lot of negative campaigning, you know, just like we saw 4 years ago among the Republicans trying to beat Vitter, right? Mm-hmm. But no, I haven't been impressed with Abraham so far.
Well, he's a guy who's got to get it going if he's going to be a factor in this election.
Yeah, right. It just seems like it's being run out of Washington, D.C., the whole campaign. So,
and the governor has agreed to three debates, but last time around, he and Vitter and Angel and Darden, they probably got together 15 or 20 times, and some of them were eventful, some of them were not. But ultimately, John Bel Edwards, with a shoestring budget got 40% of the votes in the primary, which shows you what a Democrat can do if the field is cleared. Any chance, Lamar, that another Democrat of consequence will get in the race?
Of consequence? No, I don't think there's much of a chance. At this point, 4 months out, it's just not even possible to really get a ground game operation going this soon.
A few months ago, Roy Fletcher, I think we've noted, he gave Edwards a 75% chance of being reelected. How do you see it?
I agree with Roy Fletcher. Yeah, it says 75, but maybe even higher than that, 90% at this point.
And he said a 99% chance that Trump would carry Louisiana next year.
That's smart. That's probably true.
Lamar, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Go to the Bayou Brief and you'll find out all kinds of things. Maybe some things you didn't even want to know about Louisiana politics.
That's right.
It's right there. Now the news with Karen Henderson on WRKF.